coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It is Tuesday, August 29th, 2023.
Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday.
Eric the Tech. You know, I love that guy. Okay. Son-in-law, tech, animal, wildlife, tamer. No, never. I can't tell you about that. Okay.
Hagman, the pest controller.
Three blind mice, huh? All right. Now, you know what? Big show for you today. Also,
taking out mice with a 45.
Don't tempt me, because I will. I have no problem with that little tiny thing about this big mouse.
Right through my computer screen.
You know, that's what happens when...
It nicked my ear.
the shrapnel from that, right?
Yes.
So, yeah.
Workman's comp.
Explain that workers' comp claim. Yeah, got hit by a piece of shrapnel from a 45. Where were you? Some type of gun battle? No, just shooting at a mouse.
It bit my ankle.
In the office. I don't like mice. I mean, they're okay. I don't like spiders and snakes, okay? There's a song like that. But
spiders
mice,
are good.
Yeah,
snakes are good.
No, there's nothing good about a spider.
They kill
fact,
the bugs.
Randy
they
Taylor's
kill the mice.
Randy Taylor's got a story about a spider when he was in Hawaii. I remember him telling me the story. It still terrifies me to this day. Randy Taylor's story. Okay,
what happened?
Oh, he's going to tell you. I'm going to ask him to tell you.
Hopefully, he was wearing blue.
Right in the face, man. I'm telling you.
He should have wore blue. He would have been all right.
He should have wore blue. It seems to me that blue is in this. Now, you're going to start something here. Okay, folks, look. We have got to triage everything that's going on. Okay, so let's get serious here now. We have to triage everything that's going on. And by that, I mean this. You've got so many things that have yet to have answers to. If you go back in time, the shooting in Las Vegas, I submit to you that the Saudi National Guard, that was an operator who was shooting at the people on the ground in Vegas. It was the Saudis. Why? It all has to do with the MGM Grand, the four floors, the Soleimani in there. It was kind of a coup within the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And yes, the U.S. IC was part of that. Okay.
A mouse infestation.
Yeah. If I see a mouse wearing a burqa or whatever, what are those things called? You know, burqas. Then come out the real high powered stuff. None of this 9mm stuff. I guess I own my computer. All right. People are going to believe this. You know that, right? They're going to believe it. They're going to write in and say, did you really shoot him? Not this time.
Four times.
Not this time. No, four times. All right.
So you don't have to throw them out. They just disintegrate.
picking up pieces. I'm telling you. There was a couch.
You know what else eats mice? Largemouth bass.
Really?
Yeah.
The fisherman over here.
There's mouse lures out there.
I'm telling you. He's going to be, I mean, we're going to be okay when we have to rough it, when there's no food and we need to go fishing, right? Me, you, and everyone listening to this. Let's get on with this so we don't waste any more time. My buddy's time here, Randy Taylor, is with me. But I just want to say this. When you look at things, we have to get answers. We still don't have any official answers from the Vegas shooting back a number of years ago. Where the biggest mass shooting in American history, and what? No one's talking about it, really. Stephen Paddock did it, right? And end of story. Okay, no, that's not the end of the story. How that connects to Maui, by way of the police chief. Nashville, the Christmas bombing of Nashville. Coincidentally, right? Christmas morning, the bomb went off in downtown Nashville. What are we hearing about that? Are people asking questions about that? And then, of course, all the election fraud, the varying stories. And you can have multiple things happening at the same time. For example, with election fraud. I really want to drill this home and then bring Randy Taylor on, because this is going to be a big part of our discussion. For example, in election fraud, you can have machines that have been rigged. You can have paper ballots that have been created and dropped off at 3 o'clock in the morning. You could have improper or illegal voter rolls and then absentee or mail-in ballots. I shouldn't say absentee, but mail-in ballots that are inauthentic or fraudulent or counterfeit. It doesn't have to be one thing. It can be all of the above. The same with the Maui fires. It can be an arsonist as well as directed energy weapons, as well as the neglect around the high power lines. It could be all of that. And that's one thing as an investigator, I was taught never to have tunnel vision. Take a look at all possibilities, because when you get tunnel vision on one specific avenue, when you go down one avenue and say, this is what happened, and discount everything else, I think we're doing ourselves a disservice. The same with the SARS-CoV-2, the coronavirus, and the rollout of the jabs. Notice how there was a lot of problems with, explaining away. Why did this person get sick, this person die, and this person have no problems? And again, it's not a simple one answer solution to the issue. And so I just said that, so hopefully people will expand their thinking on this. And speaking of that, the jabs and all that, Tom Renz will be on the show tomorrow, attorney Tom Renz. And one of the things he's going to be talking about, in addition to the modified, not messenger, but modified RNA, hopefully he'll get into that. If you go to Hagman PI, there is his Substack about modified RNA. You've got to read that. But that, as well as Dr. Sherry Tenpenny being delicensed from, or having her license taken away by the state of Ohio.
Imagine that. Yeah. We didn't see that one coming.
Of course not. Meaning they're still coming after the doctors, the nurses. They're still coming after all of us. And by the way, folks, you can communicate now with Dr. James, the Patriot doctor. He's written a couple of really nice op-eds, essays, he's like the Thomas, in a sense, kind of like a Thomas Paine, a modern-day Thomas Paine. And if you go to HagmanPI.com and you can read what he's written, and Randy Taylor is no stranger to writing either, and Randy Taylor is with me. Randy, thanks for being patient while we just yucked it up here for a while. But you got to start out with the story about the spider in Hawaii. You got to do that, because I still have nightmares over that.
Well, we were training in the Kahuku Mountain Range on Oahu.
Yeah.
And rather dense foliage. Anyone that's been there would know exactly what I'm talking about. And it was at night. You can't see a thing. It's no moon, nothing.
Yep.
And we're feeling our way along. And I see what looks like an opening. Okay, it just faintly, I can see it. There's an opening. Looks like we're going to just break into an open spot. Okay, That's the most bearings we've had all night. Boom, boom, boom. Next thing I know, I've got a spider on my face. And not just any spider, a great big banana spider. Now, anybody that's seen a banana spider knows how horrendously huge these things get. Yep. So his body hits me. He had done his web across the entire opening. So as soon as I went through there, I was in the web, and his body went wham right in the face. Legs wrapped around my head. And here, you'd have been proud of me, though. I stayed quiet. I didn't give away our position, but
scream like a little girl and run.
No, but I'll tell you what, I almost peed my pants. All right, but this thing, it's so bizarre. When something like that happens, you don't know right away that's a spider. You know what it was. For all I knew, right. It could have been a bat. You know, I don't know. But I grab this thing and I swing it, and then I realize that's a spider. But the sheer size of this thing, folks, try and imagine it in different regions of the world. It wasn't the first or last time I was going to see banana spiders, but it was the first and only time that I took one right in the face.
Yeah,
and I have an unnatural fear of spiders. I don't. It didn't take Godzilla spider to scare me. You got a spider this big, and I'm like, honey, we're gonna kill the spider.
I gotta tell you, brother. I'll take care of, seriously. I'll take care of mice or whatever, little rodents or, but
snakes. I'll grab a snake. I don't care. But a spider?
No. Yeah, no spiders, brother. No spiders for me.
I've had too many of them jump on me, fall on me.
Yep.
And I've always lived in regions where they were poisonous.
Oh, yeah.
You know, black widow. I mean, you know, black widow that big would kill you.
Yep. Man, brown recluse. And
yep. Oh, no, there's a scary one.
The funnel ones. Yep. The funnel spiders, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But that banana spider, that's I'll tell you what, that's an experience.
Experience. I remember you telling me about that, and I often think about that. But folks, again, survival skills.
Things that go bump in the night. Now, that's why you'll notice on shows or things like that, if you're talking about bunches of bananas, they'll pull that bunch from the tree and they'll throw it in the river, water, whatever, just to get the spider out.
Yep.
There's spiders in there. And that's the reason if you ever see them, they'll take it. There he is. There you go. That's the culprit right there. And I'm going to tell you what. Picture this thing covering your face.
Wrapped around your face, man.
Yeah, and you can feel his little pointy little legs on the side of your face, you know, back here on your head. That's a big spider, folks. That's a big spider. I'll never forget that. And sometimes even if I'm out at night, been camping, something like that, I'm walking around, even in the yard at night. It's like, I'm just waiting for some spider to jump on me. It's like they're attracted to you or something. But thanks for sharing that story, Doug. I forgot.
Well, you know, I don't know what, 10, 15 years ago you told me that. And ever since then, I'm thinking, you know, man, I'll tell you what, all my encounters haven't been, none of my encounters have been like that, but.
That's a wake up. But once again, I kept my silence.
That's an important thing to do, especially when you're on maneuvers.
I peed quietly.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about here.
Yeah, let's get down to business here.
And what you said, and folks, please, the entire time you're watching the show, what Doug said, keep that in mind. Please always keep an open mind.
Oh, yeah.
We don't just go with the flow.
We can't.
There's a lot, and we say, I take a load of crap and email over it. That's fine. But one cool thing is everybody's entitled to their opinion. Anybody that writes and anybody that's written me with an opposing opinion, unless you're a butt, okay. But anybody that writes me with an opposing opinion, I've replied.
Yeah.
And I'll thank you for bringing that to my attention or to present it a different angle, because I don't know everything. I never claim to, you know.
Well, none of us
do. But you'll notice that we don't always just go with the flow.
Right.
We've learned. I think it's just hard lessons learned.
Well, and tunnel vision, you know, again, it is so limiting. You know, we went through this in classes, okay, with investigative classes. When you suffer from tunnel vision, again, this is part of the program. This is part of the show here. This is part of the broadcast. Please don't think that just one thing is happening or caused like the wildfires or the wildfires, the fires in Maui. Or there was one motive behind whatever event necessarily, you know, or one method.
And keep an open mind for another reason is remember, outside of government malfeasance or them doing anything wrong, things happen.
Yeah, well, true.
You know, please always keep that in mind. It isn't always the government.
Yeah.
Granted, they're guilty of many, many horrific things, but please keep that open mind, and I think you'll benefit more from that. You'll at least be well-rounded, and when you go to present your thoughts to someone or what's on your mind, they'll respect you for it.
Exactly, and thank you for pointing that. And folks, you know, thanks for your patience on this, because all of this, to me, when you look at the events that are taking place today, to me, I don't think we've ever been in this area before. We're out of the normally charted waters, you know.
We're out of our wheelhouse, as they say.
Right. And I think people are quick to discount, like, directed energy weapons. You would think that something like the use of something like that would require a lot of people to know that this is happening. You know, you can create choke points. And this is what the government did, whether it be Nixon back in the Watergate days or whatever. The choke points within the government or within rogue groups. Or choke points, hey, in the supply chain, you don't have to take out the entire Walmart. Just take out the back doors where they deliver the stuff, as an example, okay? So there's different ways of doing it. Before we get further down the road here, I just want to thank Policy Genius. Folks, if you haven't done so already, please go to policygenius.com. I want to thank them for being an important sponsor of this show. You know, it's important to get life insurance. Because I'll tell you something, when something happens to you, or if you have a family like I do, you know how much your loved ones depend on you, right? I know you do. In a worst case scenario, you wouldn't want them to worry about money. For goodness sakes, that's the last thing they should be worrying about. Policy Genius is the answer. Folks, a good life insurance plan can give you peace of mind that if something happens to you, your family will have that safety net to cover mortgage payments, college costs, or whatever the expenses might be, even to give you a proper burial, but they can get back. That'll help you get back on your feet and focus on what's most important. I'm talking from the heart here. I've seen enough death in my during the 60 plus years of my life. I get this. I get the importance of this. Let me tell you from personal experience, it is satisfying when you know that you are covered. And policygenius.com. That's the place to go to get coverage. I have personal experience with this, as does many members of my family. They know how valuable your time is. That's why their technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurance in just a few clicks. Now, listen carefully. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $25 per month for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius has licensed award-winning agents who can help you find the best fit for your needs. They work for you, not the insurance companies. That means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance. This is the Policy Genius is the place for parents and caregivers, anyone else who has people who depend on them. And it's so simple. Your loved ones deserve a financial safety net. You deserve a smarter way to find it and a smarter way to buy it. Head to policygenius.com or click on the link in the program description box to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. And you can save a lot. That's policygenius.com. Policygenius, all one word, .com. Policygenius.com. Thank you so much, Policy Genius, for taking care of our families and our friends and associates. All right. So, Randy Taylor, we've got a on the show prep that we did together. There's a lot of things here from, again, Maui fires to the iconic mugshot of Donald Trump to everything in between. Okay. And or it plus the 5,400. I don't know how many people saw the 5,400 references to a pseudonym by Joe Biden in the emails that proved definitively that he was involved in some shady stuff, selling American influence as vice president. But you sent something out here. Let's start out with what you sent the Maui fires, okay? You found something. And this is why people have to really... Man, you're on top of things. During the course of your investigation into this, you found something, and I did not really, I mean, I remember this, but I didn't kind of connect the dots on this. Why don't you tell us what you found?
Well, it was something that everyone here is probably aware of. We've just forgotten about it, but there's been a lot of discussion about targeting a direct energy weapon. Now, there's different ways to target these things. But the one thing that jumped out in my head and has stayed with me, it would be easy to target those residences in Lahaina. If you go back, and if anybody remembers back in 2010, when they did the U.S. Census, they collected the grid coordinates, address and grid coordinates, GPS coordinates of every residence in the United States. I don't know if you remember that. A lot of people got upset about it. I remember reading accounts of census workers being tossed off the property physically. But what it did more than anything is it creeped people out. Why does the government need a GPS coordinate? And somebody made jokes, you know, yeah, they're going to put they're going to send a missile into your home. Maybe they did. Because when you look at the different, I've been spending time looking at the film and the pictures, Some things that stick out. The one that sticks out is line is burnt. What bothers me is the house is burnt and some of the trees basically undamaged. Not completely undamaged, but they should have been burnt. The way a palm tree goes up and the fronds come out, that should have been toast up there, but it's not. And then there's one house in particular that was in the middle of all this mess, and it looked like a white house with a blue roof. If I recall correctly, I think it had a swimming pool. But the point to what I'm making here is that house wasn't included in this mess, if we're talking about a direct energy weapon. And so that puzzled me, and I thought, and then I went back and was looking at the house again. If you look at it, it looks like a much newer house. Well, Lahaina is a seaside town, and it's been there for a long, long time. A lot of those residences there were probably built, I'm going to say, just prior to World War II, after World War II. But not Lahaina itself was pretty well occupied by true Hawaiians that lived in Maui, okay? Not so much the Haoles, the white people that are there. That when I was there, that's what they called us, Haoles. And the black people were Popolos. But anyway, that house stuck out, and then I went back. And as I looked at the different features of the house, I would go as far as to say that house wasn't there or occupied in 2010. Now, Oprah Winfrey's house with the blue roof, I honestly don't think that has anything to do with anything. I could be wrong. But then you're bringing Oprah Winfrey into a conspiracy of sorts. Look, I don't like the lady. She talks a lot, runs her mouth a lot. But I honestly don't think that she would condone the murder of hundreds, possibly thousands of residents, particularly children. Like I said, I don't like her. I would never want to run for president, but I don't see her as that type. I could be wrong. Maybe someone could point something out differently. She's done this ice cold blooded. I don't see it. I can't find it. I, 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 it's, I don't buy that. Now, the blue car draws interest, especially as it is in the lineup with the burnt cars. Possibly. We don't know if that's the actual... we don't know on the targeting what the parameters are of the targeting. We know, and Doug and I were talking about this earlier, we know of three basic targeting methods. Let me pull these up real quick.
All right.
Methods of target location include grid, laser grid, lumped together, polar plot, okay, and laser polar. When I say polar, P-O-L-A.
Go ahead.
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
We're going to take a look here in a second. I'll pull that up. But it does have the ability to shift from any known point. Basically, call for fire, give them the grid coordinates. They pop a few rounds. This is back in the military. They pop a few rounds. Then you call in your correction, adjust fire over. They drop the new rounds. They're where you want them. Fire for effect. So they could use the same type of method. The thing is, when you get into weapons that are using computers and based in a computer, Lord knows what the programs are. That brings in a whole other thing, too, is did the government do it?
And if so, which government?
Thank you.
And which part of the government?
Thank you. See, Doug, open mind is what we're talking about. I don't know that somebody didn't hire a DOD weapons contractor that actually makes the weapons and contract them and pay them some exorbitant fee. You know, a lot of the people that run those type of companies or in those type of companies are distance themselves from humans. You know what I'm saying?
They create
weapons that create devastation. So if someone approached them and said, you know, look, we want to do something over here, blah, blah, blah. We're not getting any help with the government. Boom. I want you to direct. Would you bring one of your weapons and do this? See, so we don't know who the culprits are. And as Doug just said, we don't know that this isn't a message from another country. We don't know that.
Yep.
So people, all we're saying, look, everybody, I know the government. Our government cannot be trusted. I know that. I know that the Canadian government cannot be trusted. I know that most governments on the planet at this point cannot be trusted. But then there's also other enemies and there's other things, you know, like the thing where we've got the gentleman from that was at the MGM Grand that ran that investigation. He headed that investigation.
John Pelletier, the incident commander at Mandalay Bay.
Bingo. So then he's over in Hawaii. The other thing I'm getting I'm not getting much response on. I've looked and looked and looked. When I was in the Hawaiian Islands, okay, they had two different names, your Big Island, which is Hawaii itself, Lanai, Oahu, Maui, Kauai, all of them, even though they were different islands, were still run by one police force, and that was Honolulu Police Department. I can't even get a clear answer. This is how well they're barricading everything, and information is very limited. But I can't get a clear answer if HPD is there or if Maui actually had their own police department by now. I mean, there's a wall here. And when you see the wall, we obviously know something's wrong. It could be the U.S. government's been caught with their pants down. If it was a foreign government or entity that did it, you're going to get the same type of resistance from the U.S. government as far as covering it up, because they don't want to look like a bunch of dumbasses. You know what I'm saying? So there's a multitude of things that are still very possible, and we're having trouble getting people in, you know, getting people into that area that are 100% reputable. I'm not saying that somebody that's there is, I'm not calling them disreputable. I'm just saying if we don't know them, we haven't vetted them, Bozo the Clown might as well tell us a story.
Yeah, precisely. We can't vet
them. Yep. Because we can't vet them. We don't know them.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, let me show you this. Yeah. Okay. Because now there are a couple of aspects to this. You've got the what happened before the incident, where the governor of Hawaii had enacted this emergency measures bill or whatever it was, order, okay? That's something that I'm looking at, folks. It's not ready for prime time yet, but it involves land appropriation and such, okay? Just hold that thought. So you've got the things that happened before the incident. Then on 8/8 of this year, August 8th, you had the eruption of the fires, of the fire that took out that portion of Maui. And then the aftermath. I want to show you this because I've gone through hours, and I mean this literally hours, of a video of people from the island, specifically Maui, talking about on record, providing testimony to the council. Okay, I found this. You had mentioned Oprah Winfrey before. Okay,
right.
Go ahead.
No, and remember too, you brought up dates. I want to come back and touch dates when you're done.
Okay, all right.
Remind me.
Okay, so rather than have everyone have to go through, like, 2 hours for one meeting, take a look at this video clip. This is from someone who is directly affected by the fires. Now, I have to warn you, she does drop the F-bomb during this council meeting. Okay.
I think after going through that, I'd probably be dropping a few bombs myself, sir.
Yeah, exactly. But she mentions a few things. Now, she was one of several people, one of numerous people who spoke, but one of several people that caught my attention, and the one that I thought would be most appropriate to play here, not because of the F-bomb, but because of what she said in its entirety. This is about 2 minutes long, but this is about the aftermath now, okay? But she makes reference to certain things that happened during, because she was right there, during the event itself. So if we can play that, it's marked new. Go ahead.
In Borge, I guess you could say I'm a kapuna, because I'm 61. I was living on 1A Street when it happened. I walked away with nothing except my dog, and I've been part of the human experiment ever since. First we were in Maui Prep. They passed out toilet paper because they wouldn't let us use the bathroom. I guess we looked like leprosy people to them in our dark skin. Then we went to Baldwin High. Now I'm at Royal Lahaina. We need help because we're being told by people from the mainland who are culturally insensitive to fill out papers that will give the America, which I am a forced American. I'm not a proud American. I am forced to be American in Hawaii. You're telling us to fill out this paperwork so that you can give us the least amount of money. All I've had since day one is $700. FEMA is fighting with SBA. I walked out yesterday because I'm hearing conflicting stories of what paper I should fill out. We need meetings in Lahaina. So many people, my employees, they're a Filipino, and since, you know, they're Filipino. They don't know how to fill these papers out. 4 out of 5 of us lost our homes. It was burned to the ground. We are only being told, stand in this line, sign here. What are we signing? Who is it benefiting, us or America? That's what I want to know. And I want to know when we get to go back to our home in Waianae. Maybe it's gone, but there, for reasons that I don't want to discuss, we need to go back there. Are you guys going to just scrape it all away and say disaster zone? And America's going to get what they want, their satellite city? Because this was planned years ago. It's now happening. And all the poor people, the homeless, the hardworking people of the hotels, the kapuna, we lost everything. So you could have your satellite city. This isn't fair. I feel like I was used. I feel like crap on the ground. This is not right, and we should not be treated this way. We're in a hotel, and we have no communication. I cannot watch the news. I don't know what's going on. I just happened to see on Facebook there's a meeting here. We couldn't even have our pastor come in and ask us if we need prayer in the very beginning, but Oprah could come in. Who is she? Who is she? They said, oh, she knows the governor. We didn't need her in there in Baldwin High. Get her out. We don't know. We also don't need people like Kainashiki telling tourists don't come to Maui. Because some of us, thousands of us, work in the hotel industry. They pay our mortgage. They give us our medical. And the medical,
3 minutes.
Besides the county, is pretty good for somebody old like me. So don't go tell tourists, don't come Maui, because you're not speaking for us, the working people. You're speaking for yourself. Tourists come. We love you. We have aloha. You have gave us money through your donations. We're not saying don't come. Come, because you will be helping us, the lower people. The grains of sand of Maui is what we are. We're not the ones living up in Laniapoku. Not one of those houses burned. Puamana is still there. Lahaina Shores is still there. Everything beyond the Civic Center is there, but the homes where we were working, where we were scraping, where we had less than $1,000 a month to pay for our basic needs of gas and food. We busted our ass, and this is what we get. Nobody called us. Our phones didn't work from 5 in the morning. The fire was not 10 o'clock when I went to work. The fire was still there. There was no water. Tell me if that's coincidence. No water, no warning. And everybody talking about the satellite city before the fire. Lahaina going to be the first satellite city. Well, hey, Jeff Bezos, you got what you wanted. Oprah, you got what you wanted. And the guy who owns Lanai, you got what you wanted. Fuck us all over. That's what happened. Okay. We need help in Lahaina. Who's going to come now and ask us, can I pray for you, Auntie?
Thank you.
Can I help you with your paperwork? Because all we got so far was $700, and we don't know who to call or anything. It's culturally insensitive in that zone.
Okay.
Right here.
So
right.
Randy,
I'm here because I'm just...
Okay, Randy Taylor, before I turn it back to you, a couple of things on that. Because that you might feel that was out of context, or that could be out of context. A lot of things that people have to understand, that area is inhabited by this tribal, it's a specific tribe native to...
Kapu'ola or something.
Yeah, native to that area.
To that area, yes. Right. And these are people that have, you know, were born there. These are true Hawaiians. These are true Hawaiians. They're not right. Samoan. They're true Hawaiians.
And when she said something about benefiting America, I struggled to wonder what she really meant in her heart by that. But I think if you supplement the word government, I think that's what she was really referencing. Mm-hmm. Okay, but mm-hmm. these people have a proud tribal identity that was just removed, and I think we have to factor that into the equation when we're thinking about what happened there. As boring, as really, in a sense, as not, you know.
This is a devastating way. This is a disruption in a perfect life. They love their.
Yeah.
Hawaiians love life. I was stationed there for years. They're awesome people. They get tired of white people. Do you blame them?
No.
I got along fine with them because I didn't act like I was superior to them in any way. You know what I mean? You get scrapes with, in a nightclub on a Saturday night with a Samoan, which incidentally is the last person in the world you want to fight with. You know, the average one's only about 300 pounds. But the Hawaiian people are truly loving people. And I'm going to tell you, I've been invited into people's homes and fed simply because I was walking past their home on the street and said hi.
Yeah.
And they've invited me into their homes to break bread with me. I'm a stranger. I mean, these are fantastic people. And she's right. And they're talking about the Oprah and Bezos. I understand them being angered. I honestly think there's some huge investment something behind this that wants to go in there. And I think they want a resort. I don't even think it's a 15-minute city. I think they wanted to clear these people out to turn this into a resort.
Well, I think it could be both. Tunnel vision, you know, it could be both. It could be the resort and the 15-minute city for the workers and for the residents.
There's just so many discrepancies here. They're not letting people in to help.
And that's the other thing. Veterans, okay, so FEMA took over the Veterans Memorial Building, but you have to check in as a resident of that shelter to extract or to be given supplies, as opposed to having that as a distribution hub for supplies, which she referenced that a little bit, but you're right. If we, I mean, there are so many people trying to give them supplies that were turned away by FEMA and by people from orders from the mainland. Mm-hmm. Okay, meaning the continental United States, meaning Washington.
And I'm sure, and I guarantee you that there was tons of help being offered from Oahu.
Oh, yes.
I'm serious. I mean, these people have, they have families spread all through those islands. This is it's a different culture and a different setup than anything that most people are used to. These are really cool people, you know? And she said, she kept mentioning beforehand.
Yeah.
Things that are happening beforehand. I sent Doug something to you. It was a DHS something or other. Federal Register. But anyway, what caught me was this long, extensive thing about turning the boat basin in for, to be a Coast Guard setup station or whatever. But this long and elaborate PDF and all, one had the wrong date on it. Said the fires were on the 9th. Okay. And the other thing was, it was put out on the 9th. But here's the thing. Nobody, I've worked with these clowns before. Nobody puts out a document like that same day. No way. I know how the government works. No one could put that document out saying that. That document was prepared ahead of time. That's what I say. I've never proved that unless I could get into the computer itself. But it bugged me. I sent it to Doug. It's just something that jumped out at me. One, to have a date wrong when the fire started on the 8th, to say that the fire started on the 9th, people could be using that piece of paper with an insurance company trying to make a claim.
Yeah, true.
And because if the government puts it out, it's supposed to be accurate gospel. You know what I'm saying? Because it's part of the story. It's all part of the narrative. It's something especially like this. You can't get the date right.
And there it is, folks. If you're watching this at home or wherever.
Yeah, okay. There it is. And I was just popping through. And the only reason I found that document is the way I do data searches. I'll go in and put in DHS and then LINA. And then a dash. And then what I do is I go to index.
Yes.
Put the word index in there. It shows you stuff that you would never see just stumbling on websites. Okay. We used to find tons of information on every website's guilty of it. They have an index. Try and find the index, because then you have access to every page.
And the results may look kind of foreign to you when you do that, but don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
But this is just one example of, I have questions because it's too extensive of a document to have been created same day. There's just no, Doug's worked with these people. I've worked with these people.
Yeah.
You know, in the past, in cases of government counterterrorism. You know, you'd have to squeeze somebody to get that in 48 hours.
Oh, man, you couldn't even get it in 48 days.
That did jump out at me. See, there's little discrepancies, and we're not jumping on all the mainline discrepancies. Like, Doug and I were talking about this before the show. I have an issue with the T-shirts.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and talk about that.
Let's talk about that one. Go ahead.
No, you because
I'll present my up. I'll present my side of it. All right. And we have to make an assumption here, okay, based on, let's just say that somehow in the computer program, using it for targeting, somehow they did use blue as a filter, the color blue. Okay, that would explain those umbrellas. Okay. Also, though, bear in mind, grid coordinates could explain why the umbrellas lived. Okay. The blue car might explain that. All right. The other thing, and we don't know, the other thing we don't know is when that car was put there. You know what I'm saying? When it was parked there. The other cars could have already been on fire, and the blue car rolled up, realized it couldn't go any further, and the people jumped out, and it wasn't burned. There's a million stories. But the T-shirts, okay? The person that I was showing, that I saw in the video, there was a burnt, crispy area, whatever it was for the backdrop, was toast. It was burnt beyond recognition. BBR, burnt beyond recognition. But they pulled the T-shirts, and then they showed the paper tags. The issue that I have with that as any kind of proof is that would be like, here's the campfire, okay? You target the campfire, the logs ignite, okay? And there's blue T-shirts sitting here on top of the campfire. Although whatever it was you used to ignite it went right past those blue T-shirts because they're not in that program prism, okay? They're not in there. They're not a factor. It ignites what the blue T-shirts are sitting on. That doesn't... that wouldn't keep the blue T-shirts from burning up. Do you understand what I'm saying?
100%.
Yeah, if the fire is down here and the blue T-shirts are up here, and let's say we saw, you can look at the video, it's toast, it's gone. Whatever was there is unrecognizable, but the blue T-shirts are sitting there, and they're like, see, it's the color blue. It's because of the color blue. You might be able to sell me on the car on that one and even a roof, okay? Not the T-shirts, because whatever was burning there would have passed targeting time. Fire's already burning, okay? A raging fire, I might add. The T-shirts would have been consumed.
Okay. Hang on, Eric, the tech, weigh in, because you just said something that perhaps, and what you were watching, this might explain it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
What you got, buddy?
Oh, you want me to?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
Are you talking about the blue T-shirts on the people?
No. Laying there. They're laying there with paper tags still on them. And the guy says, oh, look, there's paper tags. It didn't burn either.
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking of all the people in the photographs and the aftermath.
Oh, no.
90% of them have blue T-shirts on.
Yeah, it looks like a Best Buy convention.
Yeah, it's strange.
Yeah.
Almost
yeah.
like it's like symbolism, like a message.
Yeah. Okay. And that may well be, but it, keep your eyes open through the videos. And I know the audience out there, a lot of the people have seen that because it's one of the first videos that came out.
Right.
The guy talks about the umbrellas
standing
up. The other thing that, and then that's when you'll also see, there's also a gentleman that takes a helicopter in. Private helicopter, and he goes in, and he gives a really good shot of the White House. It's really a square-looking residence with a blue roof, okay? And what I'll offer for a suggestion on that and why it didn't get hit while everything around it is wasted, I'm going to say that in 2010, when they took that census, that house wasn't there.
Maybe that house wasn't there.
Maybe. That's a possibility, because I've got to come up with, we have to do both sides of this. Devil's advocate. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Or maybe that didn't have a smart meter. That was one of the houses in that.
It could be.
Okay.
Could be. Because we don't know how the addresses were assigned to where this program could pick them up. What database was put in the targeting computer to decide the targets and define the targets.
That's right.
Because this, and I think that's one of the reasons this was done in the daytime, because I think if this was done at night, there would have been some sort, I think the visuals on it would have been more startling.
Okay, explain that. Because
meaning if I was in the distance sitting up somewhere with my girlfriend in a car overlooking Lahaina, and all of a sudden something happens and every house ignites.
Yeah.
You'd almost think you'd have to see some sort of trail of something.
Right, right. Okay.
You know, I personally have never witnessed a direct energy weapon in use firsthand. I'd be lying if I said I did.
Yeah, I haven't either, obviously.
And I hadn't given them a hell of a lot of thought until this incident happened, except if folks go back and remember in California.
And I had you didn't catch it because of your schedule, but yesterday I had Paul Preston on. We spoke about Paradise, California fires.
Bingo.
Okay.
Where they wanted to lay out that train route. Remember, they wanted to put a high-speed rail train.
That's right.
Suddenly, there's all these fires.
Yep.
And it was the damnedest things. The trees were standing, the houses, and these are new, well-built. Let me tell you what, California has the toughest building code in the United States, bar none. I know this because I was a contractor in Florida. We had the second toughest. California had a tough building code, and you're going to tell me it smoked the houses and left the trees? Yeah. Mm. Now, here's the part that bugged me. There was tons of millions and millions of dollars paid out by the power company. But here's the question. What did the power company ever admit to? You know what I'm saying? Did they come out and go, hey, yeah, we used a direct energy weapon?
Well, again, this is where I would urge people not to confine their thoughts
exactly
to one. Okay, so you certainly dues could be part of it, you know, direct energy weapon. Okay.
And what Doug said too is we're inviting you people to participate.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Try and have some back up what you're saying. That's all I'm gonna say.
You know, just a point.
I don't have to be perfect.
Yeah. What I like to see is in the comments section on Rumble, especially Brighton, sure, whatever, your thoughts. But by the way, when you do that, don't say, you know, hey, morons or whatever, okay? Make your argument or make your point.
Like you're in court.
Yeah. And
sure. So let's we're all friends. We're all friends here.
We're all on the same side, hopefully.
We're all friends except for you three feds sitting there listening to us right now.
We can see you.
Yeah. We know you're there. But listen, everybody that's a participant or watches the show, some people hate us, but they still watch the show. Hey, whatever works. And that amuses me. I'm like, okay, I know. It's like listening to a song you can't stand. But anyway, that's cool, you know.
I want to show you something else, okay? This is something that, look, I can't verify the authenticity of this. I don't know who... this isn't our people, okay? So,
and maybe somebody out there can offer the authenticity. That's why we're inviting you.
Exactly. But this is, again, one of those things that you toss into the evidence pile, or, you know, once authenticated, you look at this as evidence, and then you evaluate, at least in my capacity as an investigator, you evaluate the importance of this as evidence. This was just sent to me, I think, within the last 24 hours. I don't even know who sent it to me. Maybe Steve, maybe someone else. I don't know. But take a look at this. Go ahead and play this. I sent it to you as DEW. Go ahead and play
this. Because this is nuts. Start. Like, when you see this, you're just going to be like breaking. It's going to break science. If you're a scientist and you understand anything about temperatures and melting points, what we're about to show you is going to change, in my opinion, the whole direction of this entire investigation from what I'm being led to believe, and it just makes logical sense, right?
Yeah, it's almost like there's an incinerator nearby and they just dropped the car off.
Right, so I'm going to turn the camera on what we're walking up on right now. I want you to notice there's a vehicle that's been here since the beginning. It wasn't dropped off here, obviously.
Look at the chairs not melted.
You can see here there's...
it's sitting in the middle.
This is the highest the burn got. Right here, it did not cross the highway. If you look over here, this is the bypass. You can see none of that grass is burned over there. So start to draw some logical conclusions.
Oh, look it.
We're going to show you some more things as we're walking along here.
How did that not disappear?
If this melted, how did that cone not completely disappear? Because if you look at this vehicle, and I want you to notice the burn, the amount of grass, as you can see, that burned in the char marks. This car is basically completely surrounded by gravel, and you can see a small little, well, small little flames right here when this grass burned. Yet, when you turn and look right in this direction, besides seeing Dylan, my technical cameraman, you can see this car. And for all you scientists out there that have been sending me images and you're asking me if they're real, I'm here to tell you, in Jesus' name, what we're showing you is real, live on YouTube. So if you enjoy content like this, we ask you to please immediately like this, share this, and subscribe to the channel. Why? Because you are our only hope of getting this out to the world through the YouTube algorithm. This is a tire that is gone. These are the braids of steel inside the tire. Look at this particular rim. Is it safe to say these are aluminum?
Look at the windshield. What's that?
Are these aluminum?
Yeah, that's cast aluminum wheels.
Cast aluminum wheel, you can see it melted.
And the windshield on the inside?
Look at the windshield. That is a windshield right there that is completely melted. We have some jumper cables in the back of the vehicle. We have some cast aluminum here that's pulverized.
Just dust.
How is that possible for a grass fire that did not come from this direction? Because you can see there's nothing that's been burned over here. What could cause that type of destruction when you have a grass fire on this side that obviously didn't connect? But even if it was a grass fire...
And it's still only half burned. I mean...
Yeah, you can see there's even some grass over here that's still standing. It's not even been burned.
Okay, you get the idea.
So by the way, folks...
What that looks like, Doug?
Wait a second. Just for the creator of that video, whoever that might be, your link will be in the program description box at HagmanPI.com under this episode. And folks, I would urge you to subscribe to that channel, watch that channel, evaluate that for yourself. But go ahead, RT.
It reminded me of my Explorer.
Yeah, you know, and it reminded me of 9/11.
Yeah, especially the burnt. They show another one, and it's those same guys where there's a river of what was melted aluminum.
That was next in that.
Okay, all right. And I saw that, and I was like, wow, that's some intense heat.
Right.
Now, I think to melt aluminum is 450 Fahrenheit.
12. No, maybe. I thought it was 12, but maybe not.
Okay. It's actually a low temperature.
Really? Okay.
But yeah, but still, look at the car.
Well, yeah.
And look at the positioning. I mean, these are the things that point us in the direction of a direct energy weapon. Because that, or they've got a weapon out there we don't know anything about.
That's possible.
You know what I'm saying? This could be from the Space Force. Remember, we have a U.S. Space Force now. So let's see, approximately.
But by the way, aluminum melts.
I was wrong.
1,221 degrees.
Yep. Okay, and that's still right. and that's a pretty intense fire when you talk about 1,200 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh yeah,
that's intense. And an average fire just doesn't burn like that. A regular fire is something was used there.
And, you know, look, the only experience about so I graduated from California Fire School back in the 70s. Things have changed since then, obviously, but the behavior of fire hasn't. I did work a case in the 90s where a guy was insured for $2.5 million, found at the top of a mountain in his vehicle, and the vehicle the vehicle was destroyed by fire. Okay. But I don't want to get graphic. All I'll just say is you would be able to identify that there was a person there. Okay.
That's it.
Okay. So look, I don't know. I don't know if somebody pulled off the road and, you know, and was part, you know, turned to dust. I don't know. I don't know if that was unoccupied or occupied, but.
I think about that. That's that right there. I mean, that's horrific.
But regardless, you know, you look at the damage done. So we're looking at At least, again, by comparison purposes, look at 9/11 and look at the work that Dr. G. Wood had put forth. Where did the mm-hmm. towers go? Okay, she brings up some good points. Now, yesterday when Paul Preston was on talking about the geoengineering part, where aluminum and barium is dropped onto, you know, to block the sunlight, but dropped onto the foliage and ground and stuff. Okay, that mixes with the iron in the soil, creates thermite, and so obviously, as an aside, you're going to have evidence of thermite, but that's a whole nother discussion. But anyway, but it does create an intense heat as well. So again, another factor to consider that maybe you guys didn't consider. I don't know. You know,
it's another look over here while this happened.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There you mm-hmm. go.
And we've certainly talked about distractions.
Well, but again, you know, to me, okay, there's the motive means.
The motive is going to be critical here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think the motive has been, brother, I think the motive is pretty clear. The motive to, and I sent folks, sorry for being scattered today, but displacement, replacement, and depopulation. I mean, that's what we're witnessing.
Yeah. They're coming up with ways every day. And here, what a perfect one. You wipe out all these people and you're trying to make it look like it was natural. Forest, you know. Listen, there's no way that was a natural fire.
No.
There's no way. There's no way. It wasn't a in Canada, there was a recent talk and somebody I've been communicating with, where the fire department was doing a controlled burn and they had the winds in their favor and then the winds shifted.
That, by the way, that's a bitch when that does happen. I'm familiar with that. So
now, will that ever come out in an official report?
No,
I doubt it, but they're going through the same thing there. They're not letting anybody in. When I was in Florida and the hurricanes hit, our one, it was 2005, where we had like four hurricanes. And I was fortunate. I had pallets of each pallet had 96 cases of water on it.
Yeah,
and
seen that.
Yeah.
I was down there.
Yeah. But what we did is we went to the warehouse, loaded up water. We loaded up plastic, tape, straps, everything we could, and went back into the mobile home parks who were hit the hardest. I mean, these people are walking around like zombies. It's been 3 days. There's nobody from the government there. They're not doing anything. These people have no water. They haven't had water in 3 days. And we gave out almost 200 cases of water. And I gave away. I had all the water I had in the warehouse was gone, and all the building supplies, everything down to nails and screws and everything we could, we gave out that day
I want people to know something about you, okay, folks. And I'm being very serious about this. This is not for anything except know about Randy Taylor. He had a business down there. Period. Okay, I'm going to put just a period there. Well, of course, you were open with it. It was a HVAC business. But you had a warehouse, and I could not believe the generosity of that man putting, I don't know how many thousands, tens of thousands of dollars towards supplies for people impacted by those hurricanes back. And I can't remember what year that was.
I think it was 2005. Yeah, we had local churches were hit, roofs peeled off. You know, anytime a need came up, we tried to deal with it, you know, and most of it was just financial. And I took my staff. I can't tell you how many houses my air conditioning guys, my crew of 15 men, were out at people's houses putting the blue tarps over the houses and nailing it down just to keep the rain out, because it was going to be a month before an insurance adjuster even got there.
Yep.
You know, we did everything we could. You know, we got to the point on the water, like I said, you call to reorder water, the water company's out of water. You know, I mean, we did everything we could.
But see, imagine now, okay, because you did that for your neighbors, your neighborhood. Well, not even your neighborhood, but the people within your community.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine somebody from FEMA coming up to you and saying, "You can't do that because it's not FEMA approved." That's what's happening in Hawaii.
Yeah, it'd be an interesting conversation.
I don't think there would be a conversation.
I think I just told them. Never mind. You know what I'd say, and I'd just drive in, and my guys would follow me because my guys would follow me to hell and back.
I know. I've witnessed the, but see, that's okay. So what's happening in Hawaii? The federal government has got control over the choke points.
Huge control.
Exactly. And turning away supplies from within the community and from outside of the community, because remember, this is an island we're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, they've got control over any public landings, if you will. So some of the supplies made it through only because it went on private docks, landings, whatever you want to call them, and was snuck through that way. But then were stopped at points within the zone of destruction. So,
another point in Lahaina that's bothered me is the boats out in the water catching fire.
The
only thing I'm going to say, Doug, I would believe that they were in the targeting path. Picture the direct energy weapon coming across more at ground level.
Okay.
Or slightly higher. What else could torch boats, you know, that you can tell are a couple hundred yards from shore?
Get kind of like a stray bullet, maybe?
Well, like if it was coming, the direct energy weapon was coming. Let's say it was fired from a battleship.
Okay. Yeah.
And comes across the water, you know, the bottom of the beam being 40 feet in the air.
Whoops, got in the way.
Yep. And you had just happened to be in the path to the target. You're not the target. You're just in the path to the target. You're a residual. Nothing else. You can't tell me anything else that would explain why the boats are on fire.
And think about the 2010 census GPS coordinates being used as perhaps one of others, but one of the methods to employ
One of the targeting methods. Because you know these things are all run by computers. Now, if it's a ship, then we got a real problem because that puts it on the U.S. government.
Yes.
But you have to also, you've got to be reasonable and you've got to look at, okay, you have a crew on a ship. What assurances do you have that they would even participate?
Very true.
In something like that. See, so pull that factor in now. And how are you going to silence them if someone disagrees? You know what I'm saying? We're getting into.
Can I bring up SEAL Team 6?
Yeah.
Osama bin Laden, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a good example. You know, then what happens? That battleship going to sink out in the ocean? No survivors? What? You know,
I don't.
This gets very complex. That's why I'm leaning more towards possibly a military contractor that builds these weapons being paid off by somebody that wants to develop that land.
Well, there's always that plausible deniability and development. That entire meeting that you saw the excerpt from, that was this emergency order. This bothers me. And folks, you can help me out if you can direct me to that emergency order that by Josh Green, that he signed that a couple of months or maybe midsummer. Now, I do know that Wisconsin Christian News made a reference to some sort of. Where is it here? Bill legislation by the governor in. Hang on one second here. Here it is, right here. I'm not going to take your time to try to find it, but Josh Green participated. Last year there was a proposal to build a high rise residential building, but since it was a historic town, new development is not allowed.
Right.
Okay. But now that everything's been burnt down, they can now build back better. Okay, that's part of the article. But there's a reference in this to some sort of the order I'm referencing, this emergency order.
Right.
Okay.
And we need to find out who has been the biggest push on developing that land.
But BlackRock or Vanguard so far, yeah, that I can tell.
There you go.
But then what about, have you looked at the, any of that? I mean, look, we know.
No, that's next.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Because I definitely want to find a culprit and a delivery method. Those are my top two.
All right.
I want a culprit. Using that, it's pretty obvious to me. Somebody wants to use that land for something else because they did wipe out a historic town. They killed a lot of people. And you know something? The kids were home from school that day. Yeah. The kids were home from school.
You're looking at homes. In that meeting, you're talking about 25%, 27% of the school population.
Mom and dad are at work. You're terrified. Your whole world is on fire around you. You imagine that for a little kid. We've allowed these people to become way too evil. I want to see where it goes, see what comes up, because I've got to know in my heart who the guilty part is.
This is all
this
part
is
of...
This is sickening.
But you know...
I know, we're cannon fodder now, Doug.
And brother, there it is, and I hope people understand this and take this for what it is.
This is not a game.
We're at war.
And they've drawn first blood. This is evil. Think about this. You know, they could take any one of us out with our address. They could take us out literally with a Hellfire missile in your car. You know what I'm saying? If no one can explain this, who could explain that car suddenly exploding on the highway?
Well, you know, you've got... this goes back to Michael Hastings. Think about that. They can take control of your car, which is why I prefer to drive a car with no electronics, no roll.
Thank you. No, okay. I don't want that where it talks to me. No, thank
right.
You.
I don't need any of that.
Yeah, GPS is about the most it's going to talk to me in my car.
All I want, you know what? I want the key and I want the cigarette lighters. You don't have cigarette lighters anymore.
And nobody uses ashtrays for ashtrays anymore.
There are no ashtrays.
I know, that's not... Well, I have them in my cars, but they're change compartments now where we keep change.
Oh, jeez.
Because I don't smoke, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, it's... So, you know, when they say... And I didn't realize, by the way, how we're into overtime here, but this has been planned for a long time. This has been planned for a long time.
Yes.
The little things, too.
And the thing is, it's little, and the little things like the discrepancy in those dates.
Yeah.
These are little things that if we can add up enough of them, we have a case we can say and present it and say that we feel very strongly that this is what occurred and why. Not that it goes anywhere, but we want to be able to present it to the Patriot community because we have people out there listening right now that this means a lot to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Our prayers... Our thoughts and our prayers go out to these families,
man.
And you people trying to get supplies in, just take the supplies in.
And mow over whoever's standing.
Whatever's standing in your way, get the hell out of the way. Your job is to look out for your brother.
Amen.
You are your brother's keeper, and we are you, ladies and gentlemen. Civil disobedience. You get in there and help those people. And anything you see, fine. Folks, if you see anything, you have any, especially video and photographs, okay, send them in. We'd like to hear about it.
We archive that. But Randy Taylor's got, I'm afraid to tell you how many hard drives he's got, but.
Four towers and unbelievable trigger bytes.
Yes. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I'm telling you.
And listen,
go ahead.
And also, folks, what we're doing takes time and it takes money. All right, so please, remember, Hagman Coffee. You guys don't really know the story on the Hagman Coffee. This isn't where they just buy something, slap their name on it, and ship it to you. These coffees, okay, are specifically brewed.
Yes.
Put together, okay? there is a man in another place that actually has formulas just for the Hagman Report.
Do you know how much, I got to tell you this, when we were doing the different roasts, okay, I'd get UPS shipments of these bags, right? So, right. And they all had numbers on them. So, I told them what I wanted, like for the detective splint. So, I would get a box, a bunch of bags in there with numbers, and I'd have to drink. I'd drink them all, right? And then say, okay, in the order I like them, you know.
It was like the Pepsi challenge, except for coffee.
Yeah, and on a couple, I said no. You know, I a couple of boxes that I got, I said no, I don't like any of these. So redo it, and that's so. Yeah, and so I've got my grandkids, Eric's kids, down there in Costa Rica picking the beans. Okay.
Put it this way, and I'll vouch for this. It was a painstaking process for him getting this set up.
Yeah.
And the person that does this for him, this is a formula exactly and only exclusively
yes
for Doug Hagman and his enterprise here. Okay.
Yep.
My favorite is the Revolution brand. Why? I don't need my hair standing up on end. I know you guys have heard of other ones that are the strongest in the world, and I'll tell you what, take this Detective's Choice. This right here, if you're planning on sleeping, don't drink Detective's Choice.
Okay? Put that through a French press. Listen, I got to tell you, it's great.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, you got a first thing in the morning, this will help you meet the day. Ladies and gentlemen, and every time a bag of this, and these are beans inside. You grind this yourself.
Well, it doesn't get any fresh. You can get it ground or K-cups, but
K-cups.
Like the beans, you know.
I prefer the beans, Doug. There's nothing like the smell when you open the container with the beans. Yeah. Oh, that just smells good, you know. And when you grind it and open up the grinder, that's,
oh, yeah.
I mean, you're going to be drinking that in 5 minutes, you know. It's something really special about it. I ground coffee, unless it's in a K-cup, just loses its appeal for me. But a lot of people, my wife lives on the K-cup, you know.
So it's convenient, you know, that's what it is. And by the way, I'm not going to spend, and this is the other thing too. When people get the K-cups, they're plain white, okay? No labels or anything on them. Because I'm not going to spend like 30 cents on every K-cup to put a label on.
That would just jack the price of your coffee.
Yeah. I mean, hey, you know what? I'd rather spend that money on the R&D part of the formula or the process.
Tell them what this goes for, how this helps the children.
Oh, yeah. So
this is important.
a third to the to keep the Hagman Report going, a third to Shatter Ops, and a third to another organization. I don't think I have their permission to really say who that is.
No, then don't. But you need to know you're helping.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And the folks, you folks that support the Hagman Report and Hagman PI, and you're out there, you're promoting us, and you're supporting us financially. The thank you.
Yeah, thank okay? you indeed.
You know, absolutely. This doesn't happen without you. And you can tell we're in here, and we don't just jump on the bandwagon like everyone else. You can tell from the content of our show today. We are working on this. We are always working on something so that when we bring it to you, it's crystal clear. It's clarified. It's been vetted. And we'll stand behind what we said.
And if we don't know, we will
tell you.
There you go.
That's we right. do not know. We're not going to make up something just so we can say, oh, case closed. Yeah. We'd probably make lousy homicide detectives, you know? We wouldn't just pick somebody and go, hey, we're putting this one in jail because the mayor's been calling the office, you know? That doesn't work for us.
In today's environment, not anymore. Nope. It's not the way it used to be.
Yeah, but we want you to have somebody you can trust. You can't trust the government. You can't trust mainstream media. You can't trust half of the websites and podcasts out there, more than half.
Yep.
Most podcasts and all you can. Some of the stuff I hear on these podcasts, I'm like, you're insane. There's no way that's even partially viable. You know, so ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Please continue to help. We look forward to doing this for you. We do this because we love you. We do this because we're patriots. We do this because we believe in God. And I don't believe in being a complacent Christian. Some people take issue with that, say we're in the end times and I should just go golfing. Okay. I don't really see that. Okay. I don't see that.
No, I'll tell you what. And this is a work in progress too. An investigation that we're laying out the information, the possibilities. We have not come to any conclusion, like you said, okay? Because and you and I look at this the same way. If you've ever had to create evidence to take to a judge for a warrant, for example, okay, this is kind of what I know, okay? There are certain levels. You've got to rise to certain levels of proof before you actually take that, unless you want to get your butt tossed out, you know, by the judge, okay, and laughed at, and then you lose your credibility with that judge. So you've got to.
Especially in today's judicial system.
Well, we don't have one anymore. But
yeah, where it's two-tiered, three-tiered, depends who you are and who you know. And
well, hell, crazy. You can. Hey, you know what you can do? You can actually use a pseudonym and sell out your country and then not be prosecuted for it today. Or just question the election and get jailed by that. But
that amazes me that he's even being booked. I was blown away by that. I was blown away by them, the pastor being booked.
Are you talking about Arthur Pulaski? You're talking about the other one, the one in the one of the 19?
Yeah, for the Fulton guy that right. he's ex-cop.
Okay.
You know, he's a minister. Yeah. Right. Okay. And he's been bagged and tagged. What?
And it's not over. It's not over.
I think that, though, honestly, when this gets going, there's a good chance this could get tossed. And reason being, and what I would focus on if I was the defense, is Stacey Abrams.
Oh, yes.
She would be setting precedents left and right, because it's years after that election and she's still mouthing off about it.
Yep.
So if she can question that, if she can go public, she can accuse. Why was Donald Trump even? Donald Trump had the right to do so. Mike Pence could have put a halt on everything until things were checked out.
Yep,
exactly. Mike Pence is the one that failed the United States, not Donald Trump. Mike Pence failed the United States. Mike Pence should not hold public office anywhere. Mike Pence needs to be called out as a Sunday Christian. Okay? Mike Pence is not good. Mike Pence is not a good man. Do not think he is.
That's why he gets booed on stage.
I'm telling you, I'd like him to walk into a Patriot bar sometime.
Mike Pence walks. Mike Pence, Randy Taylor, Doug Hagman walk into a Patriot. Never mind. I'm just trying to make a joke out of that, but I can't even. You know,
it's so sad. You either laugh or scream.
Yeah, and. What makes, and the last thing on this that I'm going to bring up is what makes people think, for example, that everything they've done to President Trump, the indictments, what is it, four 91 counts, four indictments, 750 years, perhaps the death penalty, I mean, you know, potentially, and they're going to let him win in 2024, allow him to enter the race. And you got secretaries of state saying, well, we're not going to put him on the ballot.
Is that even legal, though?
Does it matter? I guess it doesn't matter if it's legal anymore?
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, good point. Because you know in California, if that'll be the first state to yank him off the ballot.
Yeah. They're talking about that. I was talking to
Paul Preston. Yeah, you know that toilet they call California.
Well, hey, now, we got friends out there and listeners.
Well, we do, and I feel sorry for them. I wish I could move every one of them to a different state. But what they're going through in those cities with the drug addiction, the people defecating in the streets, there should not be a position within the city municipal government for cleaning up poop.
You've got a dedicated department to do that.
Yeah, that must look great on a resume.
you know something? Okay, so
talk about a shitty job.
No, that's a good one. Yeah, you know, I mean, when I walk my dog, or my wife and I walk our dogs, we pick up
after you have more manners than these people. What kills me is the people that do it on film. They don't care.
Yeah.
There'll be some tourist filming them, and they just go ahead and take a dump, don't wipe, or wipe with their hands and then wipe their hands on something, and then just go about their business. And I'm like,
and you wonder why we can't have nice things.
Oh man, if you look at everything, I understand why some Christians say that we're, you know, right there and the seals are broken and this and that, and we're in Revelation. I have no doubt that that's very possible, but somehow I just have a problem being complacent. And I take
we weren't called to be.
No, there's people that jump on us on email over that. I've been ridiculed I don't know how many times. But I just can't be complacent. If you don't like me, that's cool. That's all right. You know what? I'll still go to the wall for you.
There you go.
And I'll go to the wall to save a Democrat's life. I want to do that. Why? You're all my brethren. We just don't see things, see things the same way.
And I don't think we really have to.
I don't want you looking at me when we're in line to be decapitated. And you look at me and go, why didn't you do anything?
Right.
You know?
But the other thing is, you know, we've lost the ability to have dialogues. We can't have the left has turned into the communist left right now, where we can't even have a dialogue with them. They won't listen. And we're willing to talk. We've got manners. They don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's their way or no way. It's kind of like, you know, if I can't have it, I'll burn it down.
That's pretty much it. You're exactly right. It's my way or no way.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's like the conservative, if he doesn't like guns, he won't buy a gun. If a leftist Democrat doesn't want a gun, they want to make sure nobody has guns.
That's a perfect analogy. I've got to tell
you. And that's how ridiculous this has become. And the fact that we cannot talk to each other, that as soon as you start to engage in dialogue with anybody on the left, they immediately start throwing words like racist and this and that. And a lot of it doesn't even apply to what you're talking about.
No.
You know what I mean? You could say, you know, I am totally against that woman and those abortions. You racist! And I'm still scratching my head.
How does that even work? I mean,
where did that come from?
Or the patriarchy speak, you know, it's crazy.
And it's almost like they've been programmed.
Well, they have.
And they're calling us fascists when they're the ones telling us who we have to like, what we can say and cannot say. So who's the fascist here?
Isn't it funny? Back we're going to have to go here in about 4 minutes, but isn't it funny, back in the 60s and 70s, and kind of a little bit in the 80s, but specifically 60s and 70s, if you were with the FBI and you walked onto a college campus, oh my gosh, you know, to recruit or to talk, you would be vilified. They wouldn't even talk to you. They would throw stuff at you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Today, now the entire – everything's flipped. The FBI is embraced by the left. Christopher Wray can't do anything wrong. Mueller, oh my goodness, you know, I mean, what a saint he is. Although, you know, former FBI on that, but you know, it's just everything is upside down and backwards today.
And they need to understand that right now the FBI is serving the left.
Yeah.
But eventually, it's very possible that the next president could be a conservative. What are you going to do then? And if they'll do that to an ex-president, you don't stand a chance as a regular person.
You're done.
You know, it's scary, folks. And everybody's going to have to make their own decisions whether you want to fight or not. If you want to go against them, you know what I mean, or give in. They're talking about chipping now, putting the digital chip in your hand.
Oh, yeah.
For those of you who read your Bible, to get a universal income of $2,000 a month.
As for me and my house, ain't going to happen, brother.
It's not.
So
the future is not bright. The future is not bright.
No.
A lot of parents are hiding this from their children. You may want to discuss it with them.
That's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up.
Smart about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But let them know. You got to be careful with kids. You don't want to depress them.
No.
You don't want them to feel hopeless. Let them know that you're on the job.
And you know what? Have that conversation, but have a Bible there too.
Please. Yeah. This right here, all the answers.
There you go.
Don't leave home without it.
I love it. Randy Taylor, thank you. This is more of a telephone conversation than a broadcast, but I appreciate your time.
I love the
people out there listening to this, and a lot of ground covered despite the levity and the sidetracks. But we're
looking forward to the next one, sir.
All right. Yeah, come later this week with me. All right. Tomorrow, Tom Renz. Have a good night, everyone.